Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
This is Pastor Bruce Rivers kind of filling in here for Sister Bev. You know, her got one of those little winter colds coming at us out here in California. And
Thank you, Pastor Bruce. I appreciate you. We got Pastor Kevin Wayne Johnson has jumped on the line. He was on another conference. He's going to slide right in and take over for us. Praise the Lord, and thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Bill
Banner.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Good afternoon and good evening, depending on what coast of the United States of America that you're on. I happen to be in the wonderful state of Maryland, close by to our nation's capital, watching our 44th president of the United States and his beautiful family. Not too long ago, lit the Christmas tree, and they're still out there on the mall having a great time tonight. The temperature is about 50 degrees Fahrenheit, and folks are having a good time. Welcome to Voices of Wisdom. Tonight we will be honoring our very own beloved sister, Rosa Parks, and we will be having a conversation this afternoon and this evening from the theme and from the title, Achieving the Dream. I am your moderator. I am Pastor Kevin Wayne Johnson. I pastor the Accokeek First Church of God here in southern Prince George's County in the wonderful state of Maryland. Very, very good friend with our sister Beverly Johnson, Gumbo for the Soul, doing a lot of great work. You can't see me, but I'm giving her a standing ovation for all the great work that she's done over the years. And tonight we're going to have a roundtable discussion, and we have some wonderful, wonderful men and women of God who will be joining us tonight. We're going to dive into a couple of questions that we have as we honor our beloved sister Rosa Parks. By way of introduction, we have Dr. Alveda King. Dr. King is the niece of Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. We have also tonight Sister Janice Kearney. Sister Kearney is the diarist of former President William Jefferson Clinton. We also have with us tonight Geraldine Hollis, civil rights activist, one of the Tougaloo Nine, and last but certainly not least, a powerful man of God, Pastor Bruce Rivers, a pro-life activist and host of the Men at the Well and pastor of the Moriah Baptist Church in Dos Palos, California. Guests, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedules to be here. And what I would like to do, if you'd be so kind, is just briefly, in about a minute or two, sort of introduce yourselves to the listeners tonight, and then we'll dive right into the questions that we have as we honor our beloved sister, Rosa Parks. Dr. King, let's start with you.
Well, good evening, everyone, and it's wonderful to join this illustrious panel. I am Evangelist Alveda King, the daughter of Reverend Alpha Daniel Williams King and his wife, Naomi Ruth Barbara King, civil rights leaders in their own right. My dad, of course, was killed a year after my uncle, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and they lived together in heaven. I am director of Civil Rights for the Unborn with a Catholic organization, Priests for Life, and I'm a non-denominational evangelist, mother, grandmother, post-abortive woman who suffered through abortions in ignorance and deception. And once I was born again, I became a voice for life. And so I'm so glad to join everyone tonight. It's just marvelous. I had the opportunity to meet Mrs. Rosa Parks, a very wonderful lady. So I look forward to the discussion. God bless everyone.
Thank you so much, Dr. King, and it's an absolute pleasure to have you as a part of tonight's panel. Our next guest is Sister Janice Kearney. Sister Kearney, tell us just a little bit about yourself.
Hi, my name is Janice S. Kearney. I'm a native of Arkansas, southeast Arkansas. My parents were cotton sharecroppers, come from a family of 19 children. We were very blessed to be children of parents who understood the importance of faith and the importance of education. They were both extremely important where I grew up, down in Arkansas, and I went from the cotton fields of Arkansas to the White House in 1993, and I became the first ever personal diarist to a president. And when people ask me, what was the one most important moment in your life, they expect me to say when I became the president's diarist. But in fact, it was when I was born to T.J. and Ethel Kearney down in Varner, on Varner Road. I'm very blessed. I'm a living, breathing miracle, as are the rest of my family. And I'm so grateful to be here tonight, grateful to Beverly, and grateful to each of you.
Wonderful, wonderful. Sister Kearney, welcome, and we thank you so much for your valuable time. Look forward to hearing from you. Sister Geraldine Hollis, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hello. Thank you for by being a part of this wonderful group of people here. I've enjoyed hearing so far from everyone. My name is Geraldine Edwards Hollis, and I am a a person who grew up in Mississippi. I got my education in Jackson, Mississippi, actually Tougaloo, north of Jackson. And at that time, I, along with eight other students, walked into the Jackson Public Library, and we did the first successful integration in the state of Mississippi. Not very well known because it was so well done and so successful, but the history speaks for itself. I went on to finish my education, and I taught in Mississippi for some years before moving to California. I have served the educational level from kindergarten to junior college in California. And after retiring, I have devoted my time and my interest not only to my religious obligations, but also to the community where I work voluntarily with several nonprofit organizations. The Dr. Martin Luther King Celebration citywide, I am one of the board members, the Juneteenth celebration here in my town. I'm on the board for that. And I work with several other nonprofits. Just basically, I want to be able to get the word out and be a mentor for our young people who really do not know their history.
Outstanding. Thank you so much, Sister Hollis. It's a pleasure to have you with us. We look forward to hearing from you. And we have Pastor Bruce E. Rivers. Pastor Rivers, if you'd be so kind, introduce yourself to our listeners tonight.
Hello, everyone. I'm Pastor Bruce E. Rivers from the city of Los Baños, California, in the Central Valley in Cali, and that's what I like to call it. And I'm also the pastor of the Mount Moriah First Baptist Church in a little town called Dos Palos, or Two Sticks or Two Trees. I am a 61-year-old national pro-life speaker. I know Mama Alveda. I've had the pleasure of being with her in Oakland and San Francisco the last 2 years at the March for Life. I am a men's pro-life speaker. I'm working on my first book called Black Fatherhood Aborted. And I'm a post-abortive father with no biological heirs. And my mother got off of the abortion table in 1955 in Philadelphia and did not abort me, but gave me to her cousins, Loretta and Johnny. And I found out at the age of 51 I was adopted. And I just met my mother prior to her passing, and I just this year met my father's people in the great state of North Carolina in a little town called Lumberton. And we were there a week before the hurricane came through and flooded everything out. But I'm glad to be here today, glad to be on this panel, and I thank God for each and every one of you.
All right. Thank you so much, Pastor Rivers. Now, I trust that these four strong men and women of God comprise the entire panel. Am I leaving anyone out? Excellent, excellent. So let us proceed. I have a couple of questions that I'm going to use to sort of start the dialogue, and what I would like to do is really just kind of go in the same order that we've introduced ourselves. So, Dr. King, if you'd be so kind to lead off, and then Sister Kearney, and then Sister Hollis, and then Pastor Rivers. But here's the first question, and we have approximately 45 minutes together, and we want to give the listening audience an opportunity to really get to feel your heart in your spirit as a part of your answers. So I'll kick it off, and this is the first question, and bear with me. It's a little long-winded, so if I need to repeat it, I will. With respect to the current racially charged climate, how do you see America preserving the civil rights so vehemently fought to attain by Rosa Parks and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and the entire nation of many that fought and died in light of the Dakota Access Pipeline protests as we watch history repeat itself? Now, again, it's a pretty long question, but there's a lot in there, and it's done that way intentionally because we want to hear your heart and we want to hear your spirit. So with respect to the current racially charged climate, how do you see America preserving the civil rights so vehemently fought for to be attained by Rosa Parks and Dr. King and the entire nation. And we'll open it up to Dr. King.
As I hear the question, I'm reminded, actually, of Jesus Christ. We're in the Christmas season now, and he asked his disciples, Are you of little faith? How long do I have to be with you? Martin Luther King Jr. and my dad, of course, his brother, were very fond of a particular scripture, Acts 17:26, of one blood, God made all people to dwell on the face of the earth. Of course, my uncle's relationship with Mrs. Rosa Parks was phenomenal in that she was a very brave lady who was working for the local, I think it was the NAACP at the time. So in the teachings that my uncle had were always Bible-based, and my dad, and they learned that from their father, Martin Luther King Sr. So how long will it take for human beings, the human race, to understand Acts 17:26, of one blood God made all people to dwell on the face of the earth? That led him to say, Martin Luther King Jr., my uncle, we must learn to live together as brothers, and I add as sisters, or perish as fools. So because we cannot understand as a collective human race that we are not colorblind, God blended us together ethnically with various colors and cultural norms, but we are one race. And because we cannot understand that truth, we tend to fight and divide over our differences when we should be able to come together with the love of God, understanding that God designed us to be a human family.
Absolutely. Sister Kearney?
Thank you. And I enjoyed your response, Dr. King. And I happen, and I didn't mention it before, but one of my very first mentors was Daisy Bates. I don't know whether you all know Daisy Bates, but she was our Arkansas civil rights leader, and also she was the guide and the leader for the Little Rock Nine. And she was my mentor, and I ended up working for her at the Arkansas State Press newspaper that she and her husband started in 1941. And then in 1988, she retired, and I took over the newspaper, and I began publishing it. But one of the things that I remember her telling me always was, don't wait for a crowd. Don't wait for a group. It only takes one person to really change the tide of the direction the world is going. And that was something my father always told me as well. And I think that's something that we should remember today with everything that's going on. I think one of the fears I have is that we are all becoming hopeless. We're becoming overwhelmed and believing that we have no power anymore. But as most of you have already mentioned, the power is not within us, it's in God. And we have to hold on to that faith. And he gives us that faith, which means that we should not be afraid. And it only takes one of us to actually help make things better. And I think if we keep that in mind, that we'd all be better off. And I think the other thing is that we cannot depend on government. We cannot depend on our leadership. And we all want good leadership. We need good leadership. But what we know is that it takes us, everyday people, to help make a difference. We have to act. We have to make sure that we get involved at the local levels. We have to stay abreast of what is going on. So I think with everything that's going on, I think Rosa Parks was a great representative of just being that one person to take a chance and take a risk and to do something and start that tide for change.
Outstanding, outstanding. Sister Hollis.
Thank you. I have listened to Dr. King and Ms. Kearney, and really all of those things are what we really do need to look forward and at. Just going back and looking at the statement of the theme of today, and looking at the reality of achieving the dream. Currently, we are living in some perilous times, but I know that for me, I always like to stress that if we don't know our history, we are destined to repeat it. And for me to live in a time like we are living now, I see all of the things that are happening. I see all of the young people who are really just not able to maybe grasp some of the things that happened in the past. They may not understand where we're coming from when we let them know some of the things that we've been through. But I always try to challenge them with thinking. Something like to benefit from the era that we're talking about and to realize it today, we have to make a change in our present thinking pattern. For me, I also realized that I had to plan ahead. I had to keep my options positive, thinking about what I can do and if I think I can to really affirm that I really can, because I have to live in the present. I follow the news quite a lot. I'm on social media, so I have to really look at so many things. But when I'm looking at things, I want to be able to help people to think past what is happening today and to think that we all can make a difference. And that's why I keep saying I let them all know that we have to plan ahead. We have to keep our options positive. We have to do what we have to do. And to also think that we can. I like the idea that was presented about God giving us all of the things that we have to work with. God is there for us. But we have to make this happen in our lifetime. And although things are going awry for so many people, I think that just one person reaching out, and you said that quite well, Ms. Kearney, that we have to reach out to others. We have to be mentors for others. One person can make a difference in the lives of so many, and I have seen that in my past 19 or 20 years that I've been volunteering. Just to make a change in the situation of what's happening around me so that people can see that they can make a difference in the bigger world or the world at large. So many people are mesmerized with negativity, and I do know that negativity can be very damaging. So with me, it's always about trying to enlighten people, try to encourage others, try to lift people up to be able to see that we can have a better way of life. And that better way of life may not always be in the physical, but it can be in the spiritual and the mental, because if we have peace in our life, we can have peace in our understanding, and we can have peace in our families. But this has to be a learned situation, and we have to start thinking about unlearning some of the negativity and looking forward to where we want to be, and being able to reach those goals by dedicating ourselves to making that change. This is just a synopsis of where I am. I didn't mention it before, but I've authored a couple of books, and basically it's all about helping people to understand where they are and where they can be, because my life is all about where I have been, and it definitely is where I am now. So thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Sister Hollis, thank you as well. And that leads us to Pastor Rivers. Pastor Rivers, how about yourself?
Praise the Lord, everybody. Listen, I guess based on everybody's bios I've written read, I guess I'm the youngster in the bunch here, with everybody being an elder. And I do my best to teach our children now the honoring of our elders, where they've come from. You know, I I'm just like now. I went today. I had to go read up on Sister Hollis. I had read up on Miss Kearney, and I also read up on you, Pastor. And, of course, I've sat at the table with, I call her Mama Alvita, and I asked her if I could call her that when we run, when we do our marching together. But I stand in total agreement with everything that's been said. And biblically, because that's where we are as a pastor and as a man of God, I deal with seed time and harvest, the law of reciprocity. You know, there's a certain time to do everything, a time to plant, a time to sow, a time to reap, and all those things. And we've reaped some destruction in our lives watching some things go. And I'm a child of the 60s at the same time. I remember dealing with Ms. Rosa Parks. She visited our city 3 times. We were in the Central Valley in California in Seaside, and I remember the wonderful times we had as young people marching up to what was then Portola Junior High, and we literally fought to change the name of the school to Martin Luther King Junior High School. And the rioting, living in a Central California town, and those things, and Mrs. Park came and shared with us from her heart what her and Dr. King had dealt with, the peaceful aspect of protest. Now we're not too peaceful in what we do, and we've got to really alert our children to how it's done. Achieving the dream means waking up from the dream that Dr. King left us. It's time to go to work. That's what a young man on my show last night told me. It's time to go to work, and we must work collectively. We must put aside all our differences and let the healing aspect of forgiveness run in our lives. So I'm thankful for this time together. I hope I bless somebody. I know I've been blessed by what I've already heard. Amen.
Absolutely. Well, I have been tremendously blessed, first and foremost, by being requested by my good sister Beverly Johnson to moderate. And I knew tonight would be filled with wisdom and helping me to better understand as well. Contrary to your statement, Pastor, I actually think that I am the youngest amongst us all.
You might be. You see, it's not fashionable to ask the ladies, but based on their bios, I know. I think Miss Kearney, she graduated 2 years ahead of me, so I know we're in the same class.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm the baby of the group, but let me share with you all who I love and respect so much, and also all of our listeners. You know, when it comes to the current racially charged climate, and someone asked me, you know, what can I do or how do I feel? My biggest example and my biggest testimony is that it starts in the home. So my wife and I have been married now for almost 24 years. It'll be 24 years next March 2017, and God bless us with 3 male seeds, all back to back to back. So my oldest son will be turning 21 on the 22nd of this month. My middle son just turned 20, and my baby boy is 18, and he'll be 19 next April. And those male seeds have had an opportunity to watch their dad in the home just live a lifestyle out of respect to the elders. And that goes beyond just saying yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and yes, sir, and no, sir, but just having the utmost respect for the roads that have been paved on our behalf that we can walk down now. And so what we did as our boys were growing up is we would always take them with us to the voting booth on election day, not just for presidential elections, but also elections for the local and also for the state representatives as well, because as we know, politics is local. And making a difference by stating in the voting booth are exercising our right to vote. And so now this year, both of my sons, for the first time in their lives, were actually old enough to vote in their very first presidential election. And Dad did not mandate or dictate who they should vote for, but Dad was very, very consistent, along with Mom, all of their lives, to recognize and acknowledge that you have a right to vote, but you have a responsibility to vote because of all of the ancestors that went out before us to pave the way. So when it comes to how I feel or what I can do about what Rosa Parks and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and a multitude of others whose names we don't know who set the tone and paved the way for us to make a difference in these United States of America, that would be my testimony. And that's what I would relay as a message to all of our listeners tonight, is to make sure that it always starts at home.
Amen.
Teaching our children to do what's right, to respect those that came before us, so that as they grow up and they become parents and they have children, they can teach their children to do the same. And then one generation at a time can make a positive impact on this world through the power of the vote, because if our local elected officials are not representing us in the manner that they should, we are empowered to make a change. And so that's what I would leave tonight with our listening audience. I pray that you would resonate with that and just let that saturate into your spirit. And with that, I'm going to move on into our second question, because we are at the bottom of the hour. And Dr. King, we'll start off with you, and here is the question. What measure should African Americans take to protect our civil rights as we face the coming out of the KKK and continued police killings of African Americans and other people of color? What should we be doing now as a people to unite and fight for change? We'll start with you, Dr. King.
Well, as my sister said earlier, when you don't know your history, you're bound to repeat it. So the first thing we need to do as African Americans in every generation, those of us who are older than 50, those who are younger, and those who are continuing to come to follow, we have to know our history, understand the history of the country. That's why I say we can't be colorblind. We can't pretend that many of the things that happened did not happen. We must know what happened, why it happened, and about the successes that have brought us this far. Some people feel as though we've not accomplished much, but at my age, 65, I remember the colored and the white water fountains. I remember being in the home in Birmingham, Alabama, when the home was bombed, and God saw fit to bring us all out of that home with our lives intact. My father's speech to the people, don't riot. Go home and pray. If you have to hit someone, hit me, but I'd rather you go home and pray. So when I see young people today in the face of racism, which still exists because of lack of understanding that we are one human race, Act 1726, in the face of racism, they will riot and boycott and fight and demonstrate, but without peaceful nonviolence, the transformative measures that are involved in a peaceful, nonviolent, Christ-centered protest. And so we've got to deal first with our spirit, then with our laws, and then to know how to peacefully demonstrate. We must resist injustice. As my uncle said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. But we've got to be founded in, is a threat to justice everywhere, but we've got to be founded in the word of God. And so that's what we're going to have to do. Know our history, not repeat our history. Move forward in the power of the Lord and begin to understand that we're supposed to be a human family.
Man. Absolutely. Sister Kearney.
I agree with everything that Dr. King said, and knowing our history, I think, is one of the most important things. And even before that, is if we could learn to love ourselves and our history, to love who we are and where we came from. And a lot of that, of course, comes from that home that you talked about, Pastor Johnson, those home teachings and how we raise our children. And what we teach our children, I think a lot of that is important. That foundation is extremely important. I also believe that we have to, as adults and young adults, become more involved. There's not a lot of changes we can navigate from the White House and from Congress. We can lobby, we can go up and talk to our leaders. But the changes I think that are more likely to be made are the local changes, the changes for our judges at the local level, the changes for our policemen, our chief of police, the people who lead us on a local level. And I think that's where we as citizens can make the biggest changes and be more impactful. But I do think it is important, and I'm all for young people not rioting. I don't believe in rioting at all, but certainly getting out and letting their voices be heard. I love it when I see all these young people marching and speaking out about the things that they don't believe in, the things that they believe are wrong. That's what Dr. King did. That's what a lot of people did. Some of them riot, but most of those young people are not out rioting. And I think that they're doing the right thing. And I think that they are standing on Reverend King's shoulders when they do it. As long as they're doing it without riots and without violence, I'm all for it. And I think we should teach our children to make their voices heard, to speak out when they see something that is wrong, because there is a lot still wrong in our communities. And I think it's our responsibility as adults and as our young, you know, as young adults to speak out and make our voices heard. I think that's the only way we'll see changes. We've got to voice things when we see something that's not right. If not, then things continue in the same direction.
Absolutely, absolutely. Sister Hollis?
Thank you. I agree with the summary from Dr. King and from Ms. Ernie. I really know that we must be hands-on. I had to smile when everybody announced the time frame of their life and everything. My walk was basically pretty much as a high school student at a time when Rosa Parks also did her walk. And I lived in those trenches, all of those things that I basically lived. And I have a firsthand knowledge of where I've come from. And so I try to not just maybe preach about it, but I try to relate to it with everyone that has that question about it, and to let them know that although we have come through those situations, we must still move forward. And that is the continuum of what Rosa Parks would be about. That's what, it's the continuum of what Dr. Martin Luther King and others, we're just addressing those because those are the names. We know that there are so many others who have made those challenges to achieve this dream. It's an everyday occurrence. I like the way that the pastor talked about his children, because we must be mentors, first of all, and in our families, in our congregations, in our schools, in our communities, everywhere that we are. If we want to make a difference in the lives of others, we have to do it by, first of all, setting that example. And I know that this is a charge that many cannot fathom. But if you want to make a difference, you've got to make a difference. And I just love some of those wordings that were thrown out there or put out there. But I really want us to know that nothing is impossible when you have a plan, a goal, and a determination. And that it is up to us. We must practice love for all mankind. We must be willing to forgive for others who have done so many evils, because we can't continue to have love unless we can forgive and face those things. In order to live our best, we have to be our best, and we have to walk that walk. I'm just saying this because in everything that we do, we're making footprints. And those footprints may not be here for everyone, but somebody's going to see those footprints and where we walked, and they're going to be able to distinguish or determine that that walk was something helpful or something that was encouraging or something that was enlightening. And if we make that determination to commit to working towards achieving that dream, I know that it was brought up about the Indians in North Dakota and the pipeline things that came through there. When we're on social media and things like that, we can say things that will make a difference. It's what we say, the kinds of things we can do to encourage others. We may not be able to make a difference right away, but by continually letting people know what we should do, and that is to let everyone know that right is right, no matter what your opinion is, but right is right. And you can't make a right out of two wrongs, or you can't make a right out of a wrong and a right. It's got to be right. And when we are disrespectful to others, and even if we walk through the situations of being racist or the situations of being unjust or having injustice put upon us, is sometimes how we deal with those things that makes a big difference. I want to just come back and say that I've lived a long time. I've taught many children. I've worked with many persons. I've been a part of many organizations. And right now, I just continue to just try to encourage everyone, because if we don't start being encouraging and lift the others up, we're going to find that we're not going to move forward. So my best information is just for us to practice love for all mankind. That starts with the family and it goes all the way through. And to be able to forgive others, not to dwell on the negativity. Right now, a lot of people don't understand why we get so upset when we are called by the N-word. So the best thing to do is to just to let people know that what the N-word meant to us, what it still means to us. And perhaps that we can redirect their thinking. And I just want to say that as we go through life, we continue to learn, and I've learned a lot as I've become a retired person, and just want to leave one word with you. Actually, it's two. Just think about the Sokofa bird. He's moving forward, but he's looking back. You've got to be able to look back to see where you came from in order to know where you're going. Thank you.
That is good. Pastor Rivers, if you'd be so kind, as a part of your response to this question about the measure that African Americans can take to protect our civil rights, I'm reflecting on Dr. King's comment as it relates to Acts 17:26, one blood. I'm reacting to Sister Kearney's response when she said we need to love ourselves, and I'm also responding to Sister Hollis. In her response, part of her response, it's got to be right. Not to necessarily put you on the spot and not to put words in your mouth, but if you'd be so kind, sir, as a part of your overall response, if you could possibly touch on the love ourselves piece that came from Sister Kearney, because it really resonated with me, because, you know, there is a saying that says hurt people hurt people.
Amen.
And a lot of times they don't realize that they're hurting because they never dealt with their issues when they were a child, and now they're an adult, and those same issues permeate, and they reach out to others as a means with dealing with their own pain. But if we learn to love ourselves, and who better to teach us than a pastor, that's the root of a lot of the issues that we deal with in our society. So if you would be so kind, Pastor Rivers, as a part of your dialogue tonight, if you could possibly incorporate that love ourselves piece as a part of your response.
Amen. Thank you. You know, the scripture teaches us that love covers a multitude of sins. And when we look back over our lives and we see, I was able to, God gave me the word Sunday about in this season of Thanksgiving, we thank God for all that has happened. And even what the old song says, behind every dark cloud, there's a silver lining. And the service was so full of the Holy Spirit Sunday, where you just let the people talk about how thankful they really were. And we can kind of put back. Forgiveness is the key. God forgave us, and we have been commissioned to forgive as he forgave. And I know it's hard, and I try to do in my teaching that God has given me, you know, and I talked about, you heard me say about post-abortiveness, and while I have no biological heirs, and I didn't even realize what I missed out on until 2007, you know, not having my own children. But to fast forward, God has blessed me with a beautiful wife of 15 years, and she had 3 kids and then from a previous relationship. So I have 24 children in my life that call me Papa Bear. And there's some real love there. I follow them as much as they allow me to. They're all, most of them are grown now. And then I've got one with two great-grands and another one on the way. So this love thing that God said was the greatest of all that we must permeate. We exalt things over. And my text was from 1 Corinthians 10, where it talked about the 5 things that were given to us as examples of not what to do in the desert experience. And one of those things was grumbling and murmuring and complaining. We are the complaining as people with how far we've been blessed. And the love that God has shown us, if we would do unto others, like he said, as we would have them do unto us, we would live better lives. You know, I lost a stepson, gunned down in front of my home, and in 1993, and then I was in my own throes. I was incarcerated from my time. I was on the road with Natalie Cole, and the drugs took over, and all that crazy stuff. And I sat in the jailhouse the very night they brought one of the boys in, that the word said he had killed my son. And I had just sat at the table. I did a lot of my ministry beginning in the jailhouse as an inmate. And I sat in that jailhouse and talked about love to 5 young men at a table. And then not 10 minutes later, God tested me by opening the doors and letting another man in that they said had killed my son. And I had to live that example out. I'll never forget that night as long as I live. Well, are you going to do what you say or say what you do? And that sticks with me. It hurt me. And I had friends that wanted, hey, man, you want us to get him? And I had to tell people, no, that's not what God wants us to do. And we have to teach that daily in our lives. In this tumultuous time we're in right now, folks are angry. And yes, I lived through the water fountains coming across the United States in the 60s to California, not being able to use the bathroom, coming to the beautiful Monterey Peninsula and couldn't even get out of a car and walk on the beach in West Carmel, California, not being able to stay in Navy housing because the Navy had desegregated, but to still learn to have love, to still learn to forgive, because my parents taught me that. They taught me that, and I've tried to share it with mine. And the scripture says we can be angry, but it tells us not to sin. Don't give place to the devil. Now, I know everybody's not in the household of faith, But if we show our example of this, they will see it and be drawn to it. And so, yes, I'm a Barnabas spirit. I'm always consolating, always encouraging. That's my brother, Pastor Reverend Dr. Herbert Luss II, who's my childhood friend. He's my pastor. This is what we stand on and what his dad taught us as our pastor in the 60s and 70s. And, yes, it's tough to hold on to, but it is doable if you do it under the anointing and under the Spirit of God, who we say we trust. So I thank God for this time right now. Sister Hollis, thank you. You have blessed me, you know, and I just want to say this right now. You right up the road from me, so you're going to have to come down to our next women's conference. You're going to have to come and bless us. I'm going to get that out there right now. Praise God.
All right. I would love to.
Amen.
All right. I heard you preaching there, Pastor Rivers. That's good. That was a good word.
I had to dial it back a little bit. Amen.
That's good. That's good. Well, we are down to approximately 11 minutes, and what I would like to do is, if you would be so kind to indulge me, I have one final follow-up question, and this will be our last opportunity together as a panel to address these to our listening audience. But the last question is this. How does today's time compare to the civil rights movement as you've known it from the past? In your humble opinion, panelists, are we right back to where we started? And as you answer that final question, also embed in there your departing thoughts to our listening audience as well. Dr. King, we'll begin with you.
Thank you again, and it's such a blessing to have participated in the panel with all of you and to the listeners as well. I greatly appreciate this invitation from our moderator, who is having to whisper and speak a little softly tonight, so because of the challenges she's having. I know that we have not gone backwards. I know that we are not back to where we started. We have moved forward, but we can only move forward more strongly and deeply in the Lord. There was a saying when I was young, and it said that the revolution will not be televised. Well, that's true. You all remember. And it really wasn't. But now the revolution will be on the internet in 140 characters or less. So I really want, yeah, you know that's right. So I want to encourage everybody to be very aware of the time, the 21st century. The difference is the technology. But the answer is always going to still be reach the heart of the enemy and the human enemies, and to pray against the work of Satan. So when we see hearts transformed, then we're going to continue to move forward. Thank you so much for allowing me to participate.
And thank you, Dr. King. It's been an absolute pleasure, and God bless you as well. Sister Kearney.
And I want to say thank you as well to everyone. I've really enjoyed this panel. I learned a lot from each of you. And, again, thank you to Beverly for having us here tonight and for having such wonderful discussions throughout the year. I am I was trying to remember what it was like when I was growing up down in Gould, Arkansas, and going to a segregated school and, of course, attending a segregated church and not able to go to the library. That's no longer, you know, in existence. That kind of segregation is no longer in existence. But we know now we see more self-segregation. But I do believe that can also, if you really analyze it, there are a lot of reasons why that is so as well. I think we have not gone backward. I think that we have gone forward. I think most of us can say that we're better off than we would have been 50 years ago. But I also would say that the benefit of that 50 years ago was that people all were looking forward, and they saw something that they all needed, and they all came together and worked toward that thing that we all wanted to achieve. And that was a strength in that. And that togetherness and us working together and us pulling together, I think, was the strongest time for our community that we may ever see as a people. Now, yes, we are better off as far as money, property, things like that. We can go to any school we want to. We can go to any store we want to. But that pulling together of our community is something that I think we have to reclaim if we're going to get through this 21st century. And I think it's conversations like this, and I'm ending, but I think it's conversations like this. I think it's people coming together to talk about how we can get through this, because it truly is going to be a journey
at least through these next 4 years, which means that it may be much longer than that. But I think it's conversations, us talking, us being aware, us making our voices heard, us looking after our children the way that our parents looked after us, caring about our children, making sure our children understand the world the way that our parents did. I think it's going to take all that for us to get through this next juncture. But thank you all again.
And thank you so much, Sister Kearney. Sister Hollis.
Yes. Thank you. Much has been said, and it really has been interesting. I want to say to those who are on the show tonight that it's a real pleasure to be able to speak to some of these things that we're hearing and that we need to hear. Today, compare the civil rights movement to where it was and where it is today. I had a little notation here that I had for myself at an earlier time, and it is a question, and it is it possible that the journey can become the destination? The 50 some years that we have since the beginning of the civil rights movement, that we know there were civil rights movements before also, but from the early 60s to now, we were on a journey. When we started this journey, we knew where we stood. We knew that we were served injustice. We knew that we were served with racism. We knew that we were served with all of these other unknown things. But we knew those things. Now we have traveled, and what is so sad is that you don't know. You don't know what those things are anymore. You don't know that there is real racism. You don't know that there's real injustice. You know the results of them, but you can't put a definition on them or a finger on them, because it's not all people who are doing these things, and it's not every race that is dealing with these things. So is it possible that the journey can become the destination? I say that it can. It has. But we have to be on the lookout to know that there are those things that I would say biblical would be those things that we that are those things that are so prevalent against us. We don't know that there are people who may be racist that are around us until they open their mouth. So we have to be careful how we live our lives and make sure that we are doing and walking in the way that we want, that we want life to be, that we have to be respectful in ourselves. And I find that a lot of our young people are just, that they haven't learned, they just don't know what they're up against, because if you put it into a sinful thing, you would say that there was just a lot of sinful things going on. But we've always had sin, and we've always had some type of injustices. But we've got to have our young people to know what the difference is so that they can act accordingly. And I keep saying young people because I can't say the older people, because the older people, so many of us have lived those situations already. But the younger people, they don't know so much. And so it's up to us to help them, to lift them up, to teach them, to guide them, to mentor them, to be able to give time, influence, and means to help them. And I'll repeat that, to give time, influence, and means, because they need that. families are fractioned, and young people may not understand a lot of things. So we just have to really reach out to them to let them know that today there is still racism, there's still injustices, there's still all of these things that they may not understand, but we can move forward on them, and we have, because the destination is to be where we are and to be better at what we are and to be a better person and have a better life. And I think that we can do this by knowing what love really is. Thank you.
Amen.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Sister Hollis. And Pastor Rivers, you have the final word.
Final word comes from God's word in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, and I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We those of us that are already blood-bought and those of us that are striving to reach other people as we share this gospel day in and day out, the church doesn't want to be in the position in the church, one of the churches in Revelation, where God said, you've lost your first love. When he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. You know, I think we've taken that scripture, and it's all right maybe to use it for the sinner, but it was really for us in the church. The Lord himself is trying to get back in his church. And we need to be honest in all have sinned and understand none are greater than any others, you know, but for the grace of God, and we all been blessed. I'm honored tonight to meet all of you and reconnect with my big sister and Dr. Alveda, Ms. Kearney, thank you. Ms. Hollis, thank you so much. Pastor Johnson, thank you so much. And, of course, my dear church mate, Sister Beverly, we're praying for her. She got that little cold thing going. I my throat was sore this morning, too, so I thank God for his healing virtue. And just it's been a joy tonight. I'm sitting out watching my wife. We're decorating our Christmas tree and just thinking about the reason for the season. And the reason for every season. Jesus is the word. That's all I have. I'm just so thankful to meet each and every one of you. And don't forget, every other Tuesday, come check out the Men at the Well for all the men. Tell your men we got a great program going. God bless you all.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Awesome. It's been an absolute privilege to serve as your moderator this afternoon and this evening. Thank you again, Dr. King. Thank you to Sister Kearney. Thank you, Sister Hollis, and thank you, Pastor Rivers. This is Pastor Kevin Wayne Johnson, and on behalf of our beloved Sister Beverly Johnson, this is the Voices of Wisdom, honoring Rosa Parks, achieving the dream. And until next time, God bless. Be safe. Have a wonderful holiday season, Christmas season, and a fantastic 2017. God bless.
Amen.
You. Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye.
Mama Alveda, tag me.
Hey, everybody. I'm Sheila Ray Charles, daughter of the legendary singer Ray Charles, and I want to tell you something. Genius is common. I am so excited to share with you my genius and continuing in the legacy of the genius of my father. Ray Charles was known all over the world as the genius of soul. He truly created an image for himself through his music, through all of his accomplishments, from being from the rural South and being blind and overcoming all of these obstacles that many people across this nation would consider supernatural. And through his legacy, I get to share in that through my own music, Behind the Shades, Hope Beyond the Darkness, my book that I wrote about my story, which talks about the life that I had being the daughter of Ray Charles. It talks about my life through drugs and addiction. It talks about me overcoming through my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who did for me what I could not do for myself. I get to talk about my genius through the music that I have, that I get to share through my own songs the stories of my life and what I've been through and how I overcame through the love of music, through being able to write my feelings and emotions down so that I could share them with you. I get to travel all over the world sharing my testimony of being freed from 21.
When Jesus walks, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, happy day.
Mm, good God.
Tri-Family Channel, oh, voices of wisdom.